Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon here in Nashville. We are live at the Patron Platinum Club. It is a Predators game day broadcast, and it's brought to you by Hermitage, the design center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths. Go to the web, go to hermitage.com. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, Predators and New York Rangers tonight. They will wrap up this four-game homestand with the Rangers tonight at 7 o'clock. That's when the puck drop. Hal Gill, Pete Weber will be on your call. You'll hear that call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. Let's say hello and good afternoon to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Did I hear that was the Patron Lounge that you guys are in?
That is correct.
Do you guys partake during the show? I would.
We're currently looking at two big bottles of Patron right now, right in front of us.
Man, you guys have better self-control than I do. I will say that.
I noticed there is a little less in those bottles than there were before the game on Tuesday.
Yesterday was a big deal, Elliot. We were over at Nissan Stadium for the announcement. Yeah. Gary Bettman in town. Of course, the Predators, the Tampa Bay Lightning were there as well. Big announcement to officially to let everybody know. And the mock setup was cool, just to kind of give the visual. Tickets officially went on sale to the public today for the Navy Federal Credit Union Stadium Series that will be at Nissan Stadium on February 26th, 2022. Predators hosting the Lightning. We can't wait.
Well, I don't blame you. I think those games are really exciting. I went to like the first 20 of them I think I covered. And, you know, sometimes you get there and you'd be like, oh, another one of these. And then you get caught up in the enthusiasm of the people who are all there. And you guys saw the perfect example when you went to Dallas a couple of years ago. And those games aren't anymore for the TV audience. They look spectacular on TV. And there's great things you can do with the broadcast for them, but it's not about them anymore. It's about the people who go and the experience that they have. And I think they're a lot of fun. People have a great time at them. You know, you kind of do what you do in Nashville to make that part of the experience. It's going to be an awesome time. And anyone who goes is going to love it. It's going to be that simple. And all I just ask is that somehow we find a way to make Derrick Henry involved, because he's my favorite player in the NFL right now.
That would be cool. Definitely cool if that could happen. And certainly their season will be over by February 26th, no matter what happens. So that'll be post-Super Bowl. So that would be – I like that.
Maybe
I like where your head is.
Maybe you'll have them bowl over Steven Stamkos or something. Lightning try and tackle him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, Victor Hedman was one of the players in attendance yesterday, and when Gary Bettman came up to our booth to come on with us, we were in a commercial break, and we're like, wow, the Lightning played last night against the Panthers, and those guys are here today? Like I said, this was off the air, and we're like, that's impressive. We didn't think players would actually be here, especially from, you know, the opposition, and Gary said, yeah, they got out of practice today, so they were more than happy to do it. I was like, okay, that makes sense. The Rangers haven't played since Monday night. They were up in Toronto, and they beat the Leafs in overtime. They're off to a 2-1-1 start. What do you think the Predators are in for tonight, Elliot?
You guys got is Shesterkin playing tonight?
I'm assuming yes.
In goal?
I don't know why you wouldn't, based on how he played the other night. Wasn't he something?
Oh yeah, like Toronto was the better team on Monday night, but he beat them, and especially in overtime, Toronto had some glorious chances, and he was terrific. And I like him a lot. Like, the Rangers are kind of a fun team to watch because they've got a lot of skill. They've tried to change their identity. You know, last year, the ownership there felt that the team was too soft and they were too easily pushed around. Everybody looks at the big incident with Tom Wilson at the end of the year, but they had some games against the Islanders late in the season where the Islanders pushed them around and it really bothered the organization. They went out and they brought in guys like Barkley Goodrow and Ryan Reeves So I think they're in a little bit of a spot there where they're trying to reconfigure their identity a bit. But they're really talented. I mean, Panarin's one of the best players in the league. Fox won the Norris Trophy last year. He's a really skilled guy. But the goalie is, the goalie's a real talent. My buddy Merrick, Jeff Merrick, who I co-host the podcast with, picked him to win the Vezina Trophy this year as the top goaltender. He's the key. And I think you'll see, if this is what everybody hopes it'll be, it's going to be really up and down tonight because the Rangers can really go. They're a really talented team.
In the Predators division in the Central, St. Louis and Minnesota off to good starts, both 3-0.
Yep.
If you had to pick one horse to ride the rest of the way you think is going to be better than the other, which horse are you picking between those two?
Well, at the beginning of the year, I would have picked Minnesota, but there's something St. Louis is doing here that I find really interesting. I thought there was a real chance that St. Louis could take a step back this season. I think, talk about teams that are kind of in a change of their identity. I thought they'd be one. I thought they really needed fresh blood. And if you look at early in their season, you know, Tarasenko scored the winning goal last night, but he's playing with, you know, some younger players. I thought that they needed some of their young guys to step up. And I think one of the issues with the Blues was that, you know, Craig Berube, the coach there, he won a Stanley Cup with his veterans. And when that happens, you're loyal to your group. And there's some kids there that weren't getting opportunities to play bigger minutes or more challenging minutes because he was loyal to his group. I still think the minutes aren't high this year, but it's pretty obvious those kids are pushing. And it's Jordan Kyrou, it's Rob Thomas, it's a guy named Clem Costin, and a rookie named Jake Neighbors who made the team out of nowhere and is playing on one of the top lines. And I think they needed some new blood. They needed some fresh, something fresh, and they've gotten it. I don't know if this is going to continue in St. Louis, but the one thing it appears is if they've made a commitment to some of their younger guys. That's what they needed. So my pick at the beginning of the year would have been Minnesota, but I'm looking at St. Louis three games in, and I think this is really interesting. And if this is a long-term commitment, and if you win, it's easier to make that commitment, I think that's going to be a really good thing for that team.
Interesting. Did you say Jake Neighbors? What a name.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Chicago.
That's very 1970s TV sitcom.
No question. Yeah. I was actually going to say, but you're right. I think it's more 70s. I was going to say 80s. I was like, I love that name. Anyway, Chicago, I've watched a couple of their games. They're 0-3-1.
Yeah.
You know, I know they had expectations. You bring in a Seth Jones. You bring in Fleury. I mean, they made some moves in the offseason, some splash moves. But right now, it doesn't look like those splash moves, it's all coming together. Is it just a hiccup early on, or do you think Chicago could be in for a long season? What do you think?
I am really curious to see where this goes. You know, there's sometimes, like, I really try not to overreact early in a season. I really do. But there's something about the way that Chicago spent this offseason and the way they started this year. Like, their first game at home the other night, it seemed to me like game 75 in a big playoff race. It just felt to me it was heightened intensity and heightened energy. And one of the reasons is I think they're having a little trouble selling some tickets there. And whenever that's the case, especially now coming out of the pandemic, I think it just when things aren't going well, it just adds to the overall picture. And the fans booed the coach like crazy the other game, and I was like, ugh. But I thought the team played really hard. They lost the game, but I thought they played really hard, and the Islanders goalie Sorokin stole it for them. I do feel it there. I really do feel that there's a high level of urgency. I think it's a real challenge right now for them. I just get the sense that when you have the expectations that they had and the way this has started, and look, in Colorado they were down 3-0 10 minutes in. In New Jersey they were down 1-0 on the first shot. in Pittsburgh, they were down 4-0, 11 minutes in. It's not only that you're losing, it's how you're losing. And, you know, I look at them and I just feel that it's like game 75 already. And there's a lot on the line. And I don't like to feel that way five games into the season. I really try to avoid it. But the overall circumstances of their situation really make me feel that the stress is on early in Chicago.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts. Listen to the podcast. Elliot, it's interesting to hear you talk about the Rangers. I'm really curious about this Ranger look with Ryan Reeves in the lineup and Goodrow, Blay, some of the more edgy guys that they brought in there to try to balance. Because
yeah.
It reminds me of what the Predators, I think, faced. And we mentioned the Winter Classic in Dallas. The Corey Perry hit on Ryan Ellis, I think, was something along those lines. I think the Predators looked around and said, we're getting abused physically too much. We've got to be tougher to play against. We've got to be bigger. I don't know if you saw the hit the Tanner Jeannot had on Drew Doughty, but that's the kind of thing that they've started to add systematically into their lineup with some young players. I'm wondering how that looks back and forth tonight, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on what's the right balance of having guys like that in your lineup that sort of maybe have you thinking twice about taking liberties.
You know, the game has undergone such a huge change. You know, and when I grew up and I was born in 1970, each team had like 5 to 10 guys who would kill you if you looked at them the wrong way. And sometimes just invited that. Like, it was such a huge intimidation was such, and fighting was such a huge part of the game. And, you know, now it's changed. And one of the reasons is we know a lot more about concussions. And, you know, I think now, like, you can't have a player on your roster who can't play. Like Ryan Reeves, whatever you may say about him, and he's a really tough guy, he can play. You know, he can fill a role. And like I saw Jeannot in that, you know, the great goal the other night, like he made that really smart play to, you know, everybody I think thought that Sissons was going to shoot, but he made sure he got himself into a spot where he could score, and Sissons found him. And that's important now. Like, you can't have guys who can't play anymore. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I think intimidation still matters. I do. I think that if you have a team that believes it's going to get a rough ride from you and it's going to be hard to play against you, particularly in the playoffs, I think it still matters. And I think that you need to create fear in your opponent. Like, it's not the same as it used to be. If you touch someone, we're going to have 50 fights and all these things that would get people thrown in jail now. But I think there has to be an understanding that when you're going to play a team, they're going to make it hard on you. If you're going to beat us tonight, you're going to earn that win, and you may come out of it with some bruises. And I just think in this league, it's hard to win if, A, you can't handle being roughed up a bit, particularly in April, May, and June, and or you're not willing to like slightly rough up others a bit. Like, everybody talks about Tampa, skilled team. Other teams say they're one of the dirtiest teams in the league. And the reason is they know they're going to take it, so they realize they better be good at dishing it out too. Mm.
Elliot, I don't know. This was very U.S. slanted on the NHL Network, so I don't know if you've seen this, but I'm sure you've remember this very, very well. They did a piece on the 1996 World Cup, and it's interesting. You know, Keith Tkachuk, now he's got his two sons playing in the league.
Yeah.
But Bill Guerin, who's now the GM of the Wild, these guys were all in their prime, and they pulled the upset, for people that haven't seen it, over Team Canada in the World Cup. It was loaded with an older Wayne Gretzky and guys.
Spoiler alert.
But here's what jumped out to me, Elliot, of that. You're just talking about how the game has evolved. The stick work and the after the whistle, the nastiness in the game. And of course, this is right around the time the Predators were about to come into the league. It is night and day to what you will see on a regular night-to-night basis now. So it's even you talk about the 70s, and you know, we love talking to Terry Crisp about that area, but even in the mid-90s, that stuff was still so much different than what we see today.
Well, first of all, in Canada, we like to pretend that tournament never happened.
Well, they did kind of play on that theme a lot in the presentation of this, let me just say.
Oh, I bet they did. That was such a big win for the Americans. Like, the thing of, like, I went to game one. That was a three-game final, and I went to game one. I was just starting my career then. But the thing that shocked all of us about it, just as an aside, is, you know, when Canada was leading game three, I think it was 2-1 late, and Canada never lost those games. When our country had the lead late in those games, we were used to just, it was like Rivera was coming out of the bullpen, right? Like, we closed it, and nobody was beating us. And I think the shock was not only that Canada lost, it was that they had a lead late, and they gave up four goals. Like, that was the stunner. But, you know, the thing about that is, you like, look at all those names. Like, you know, like, Keith Kachuk, he could dish it out. Chris Chelios, he could dish it out. Like, you were, Bill Guerin, he could dish it out. Like, they took it, but they also knew for every pound, you knew that for every pound of flesh you were taking out of someone else, they were going to take it out of you. And you know what I think? I almost think, guys, right now the NHL is almost two seasons. There's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. And I just don't think, like, you guys have seen the playoffs. You guys got within two wins of the Cup 5 years ago. You guys know how hard it is to win in the playoffs. I just don't think guys can play like that all year. Like, if you play to win the Stanley Cup, you're playing 105 games approximately, right? Mm-hmm. You can't play like that for 105 games. So I think we get to see, like, some teams play harder than others. Some teams play more games harder than others. If you're really battling for the playoffs, you play a lot more hard games than others. But I just think it's impossible to play the way you play in the Stanley Cup playoffs all season long. So you have to kind of get so I think there's one season to get there and one season where it's like, okay, we're here and we're relieved we're here, but now it gets really nasty. And, you know, people say that the officiating changes in the playoffs. Yeah, I think there's some true to some degree. But, guys, what I think more is the players change in the playoffs. Players will do things to each other in the playoffs that right now they won't do in the regular season. And to me, that's the biggest change, is that we used to see this stuff happen all the time. Now, because of the fast speed of the way the game is played and the players being bigger and stronger and more well-conditioned than others, you can't do that for 105 games. I don't think any human could. So you have to save it at times, and then in the playoffs, look out, because there's no room for passengers and there's no room for nights off.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. He joins us every Thursday at 1, and I enjoyed reading the piece in your column and your 32 thoughts about the salary cap and maybe putting in some exceptions, because you have teams that, you know, can't have full rosters and have to use an emergency goaltender because of the salary cap restrictions that they're under. Do you really think that the league might look at this, especially with the COVID protocols still in place, that they might have to institute something?
I think the only way they will do it is because of COVID. For injury situations, like there are people out there before I wrote it, and I kind of alluded to it in the piece, and after I wrote it, who are like, screw the teams that can't manage the cap. Like, if you're twisting yourself into a pretzel because you're too close to the cap, or you have to carry less than the maximum of players, that's your problem, and I don't want to bail you out. But there are some teams who feel like I do, that if you're fully vaccinated, look, I'm not interested in getting into a COVID debate with people. It's too much of a loony bin out there. But the facts are the facts. You can be vaccinated and still catch it, right? So if you run into a situation where you're fully vaccinated and you have to be shorthanded like Colorado was because you have two COVID cases at least, I don't think that's right. Like, the league has talked up, hey, we should be proud of the fact we have only four unvaccinated players. And I think the league should feel that way. But if you're proud of that, then why are we penalizing that? You can take the precautions and still have COVID. So why don't we create a situation where if that's your issue, let's let you handle it. Now, what you can always do is there are situations where if you can go over the salary cap because your players who are eligible for bonuses reach them. And under that situation, you can punt it to next year. You can have it taken off your cap next year. Why don't we do that? Like, for me, if you're a fully vaccinated team and you run into a COVID problem, I don't think you should be penalized for that. And that's my position.
Yeah, very, very true. One other thing that
I should say, I do think there is a chance that the league will consider this. I've been told it's not happening right now, but it's not off the table.
Interesting. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Evander Kane, this ever-evolving story with him. He's,
yep,
he's going to be suspended, but even after when he returns, do the Sharks want him back? I mean, what is kind of the deal in the locker room with Evander Kane and what might happen moving forward with him?
It doesn't sound like it, does it? Like, if you saw their quotes, like they played in Montreal the other day, and their quotes after their morning skate, They didn't really look optimistic about that, did they? I don't know what the answer is going to be here. You know, Kane isn't talking for himself, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth. He said by his statement he wants to come back and play. I don't think the Sharks want him to come back, but it's not that simple. So basically your choices are, you know, find him somewhere else to play. I don't think his trade market's very high. Put him in waivers and have him play in the American Hockey League or somewhere, or just say, you know what, you're not going to play for us. Stay at home, and we'll pay you to stay away. But you know, I doesn't sound like they want him back, and I think, but it's not that easy. They can't terminate his deal. There were rumors about that. The league's made it very clear that can't happen. So, I mean, aside from saying, okay, you stay home and we'll pay you to stay home, they're going to have to find somewhere for him to play.
Mm. Interesting. Maybe they should call up the Houston Texans and ask how to handle this situation. Anyway, Elliot, appreciate it.
It's just wild stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of, they both have circumstances away from the playing surface, but I mean, they're both, right, stuck with star players making a lot of money that they can't do anything with. I mean, it's kind of a weird situation to be in with a, you know, as a franchise. Mm-hmm. What do you do? So
yeah, Elliot, and they've got 6 weeks to figure it out.
That's right. Hey, thanks for the visit as always. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, you guys too, have a great week.
All right, you do the same. Elliot Freeman, great stuff from him as always. Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts, he joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Hey, the NBA is back in at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. And boy, new customers, listen up. They've got an offer for you. How about you just put up $5, you bet on any NBA team to win their game, and when they take care of business, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh yeah, Washington. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same game parlays. Combine multiple bets with the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit all your cash whenever you want. All you have to do is download that DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME and just bet $5 on any NBA team to win. And when they do that, you win $200 in free bets. Use that promo code again, 1025GAME, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.